Chapter 19. Nia was up early the next day and met Jade outside the house. You made it, well done. We have to walk round to the car park. Some of us don't have private parking, Jade said, smiling. They walked out of the close, through the deserted town and over to the car park, opposite the bus station. I park at this end. Ruby and I liked our cars to be under a streetlight. She looked over at a small red car. I don't suppose that will be driven much now. Richie cycles everywhere. Glancing over at Richie's car, Nia remembered the phone, possibly with pictures of the accident in the glove compartment. She had no idea how to break into a car, so how was she going to get to look inside? It was a dry, still morning as they drove along the military road. The sea was sparkling, and from the comfort of the heated car, appeared as inviting as the Mediterranean. However, as she stepped out of the car at Compton Farm car park, Nia felt a chill that made her question why she'd come. I thought we'd tackled the climb down from here, said Jade. It's even better swimming at this end of the beach than from Hanover Point. Just don't forget anything. I'm not popping back up here to get your towel. They crossed the road, walked through a field of cows until they reached the wooden steps that led down the cliff to the beach below. Every time I come, more of the cliffs have been eroded. The National Trust work hard maintaining the steps, but it's not an easy climb down. Still, it's worth it when you get to the bottom. Nia grabbed the wooden rail and carefully began to climb down, not made any easier by Romeo, who she kept on the lead. Occasionally, she paused to take in the breathtaking views, and finally they reached the enormous expanse of empty sandy beach. She was about to let Romeo off his lead when Nia realised they were on part of the beach dogs were not allowed at that time of year. Oh no, she exclaimed to Jade. I shouldn't have brought Romeo here. Jade looked down the empty beach. You're right, I'd forgotten. Look, it's very early and we're not upsetting anyone. I think we're okay for a quick visit today, but we'll make sure we go to the part dogs are allowed again next time. Nia let Romeo off his lead, and his tail wagged frantically as he sniffed the seaweed and dug in the sand. Jade grinned at Nia. Come on, you can't back out now. How come you look so awake? You drank a lot more than me last night. I was very restrained, I'll have you know. I watered down my drinks. She sighed. Gosh, I'm getting far too sensible for my age. It's very worrying. They both had their swimming costumes on under their clothes, and Nia was glad she didn't have too long to think about getting into the water. She quickly took off her jeans and top, put her things in a heap with Jade's, and they ran down to meet the water. Jade ran straight in, dived under, and was swimming within seconds. You need to take the plaster approach. Tear it off all in one go, she shouted. As the freezing water numbed her toes, Nia hesitated. Romeo was close by her now, and she knew he was nervous of this unfamiliar vast expanse of water. I'm not going far, she reassured him, and waded in up to her waist. Fighting the desire to run back out of the sea, she leant down and managed to get her shoulders under. Slowly the sea began to work its magic, and despite the cold, there was comfort. Nia had read somewhere that people were hardwired to love the sea. And for the first time, she understood why. Out there was energy. Life. Jade surfed on the waves that took her closer to shore. Nia was standing but watching her constantly, and she didn't stay in too long. Despite there being no one about, Nia found herself attempting that impossible task of getting dressed while preserving her modesty on the beach. Jade eventually came out of the water and joined her, and was dressed far more quickly and with less fuss. Nia laughed. I don't know how it's possible, but that managed to be agony and fabulous at the same time. It's good for you. My mum always loved swimming in the sea. I used to come with her a lot. Once they were dressed, Jade produced a thermos and they sat cuddling the small hot metal cups of steaming coffee. So, do you think we learned anything last night? Nia looked at her sideways. You certainly stirred things up. Jade grinned. Elvira got ever so het up when I suggested someone went down to the beach after you, didn't she? She's always on edge, and it seems more than just pre-wedding nerves. That business of the dress is odd, isn't it? I feel like I don't trust her anymore. To be honest, I wish her and Ethan weren't getting married so quickly. I'm very fond of Ethan. I don't want him getting hurt. Ruby said she thought they were rushing things. I get the feeling Ruby knew something about Elvira and was actively trying to find out more. Remember, she went to see Elvira's mother. Elvira wasn't happy about that. Ethan said he thought Ruby was digging around for something. Maybe she was. I was learning all about her ex Hugo last night. It's funny, I saw him coming over to the island the day Ruby took me to the Red Jet. She didn't speak to him, but I saw she wasn't pleased to see him. Ruby couldn't stand him. I think that was when her friendship with Elvira started to break up. Ruby made no secret she didn't approve of him, and to be fair, I think she was right. He's a leech, and all he cares about is making money. Petunia seemed keen enough. That's because she is as superficial as him. Elvira has done well to get away from that lot. She is much better off over here with Ethan. I've been on a few early morning walks with him. He is a really nice man, isn't he? He is, and amazing with animals. They seem to instinctively trust him. Nia sensed this was a good moment to ask. I was wondering if I could come to the rescue centre with you this evening. I'd love to see the work you do there. Of course, they can always do with a hand. I'll take my own car. I don't like to leave Romeo too long. I was going to suggest we went separately. Ethan and I do. It means we can all leave when we want. I tend to stay very late. In fact, all night sometimes if they need me.
Really?
Oh, yes. Elvira said Ethan was home very late that night. Jade frowned. Yes, but he's not at the centre. He goes on to the other surgery. Nia frowned. That's odd. Elvira thinks he is at the centre with you all night. Jade shrugged. Maybe she'd not be happy with him doing more work at the surgery. Nia wasn't so sure, but didn't comment. Instead, she said, What about you? How do you cope with Mondays after a late night at the centre? Ruby and I agreed on shutting the salon on a Monday, as she was also all night at the charity helpline. She stood up. Right, I think it's time for home. Bacon rolls on Sunday. Once they reached the steps, Nia put Romeo on the lead. She didn't want him wandering onto the crumbling cliffs. The climb was steep, and she was glad to get to the top. Once there, she paused and looked out at the view. It was stunning, with long stretches of the coast in front of her. It's fabulous here, isn't it? She said. I know, we're so lucky. By the way, I've been thinking about Lucy. There is no delicate way to put this, but do you think Lucy could have a problem with drink? Nia blinked. I confess, that has never crossed my mind. I've seen her stumble a few times, but I've not given it a lot of thought. Why? Do you think she has? Ages ago, Ian had mentioned that she'd had problems with drink in the past, but she has been dry for years now. It crossed my mind that maybe it was becoming a problem for her again. But she told you herself that she'd not been drinking last night. I know, but she went off to the bathroom quite a lot. I wondered if she was drinking on the sly. I noticed her stumble at her front door, and it's not the first time she's done that lately. I suppose I saw her nearly fall when I went for lunch, and she was a bit unsure on her feet a few times at the salon. I didn't give it a lot of thought, though. I could be wrong, but I have a feeling Ruby knew something. I tried to talk to her about it, but all she said was that she was very sorry for Lucy. She did hint, however, that Lucy should come clean, as she put it, if she was going to be writing a book or going on TV to talk about healthy living in later years. It's not that she thought they shouldn't do it, but just that she should be honest. A typical Ruby stance. That's interesting. I've been trying to understand Lucy's thinly veiled animosity towards Ruby and assumed it was something to do with Ian's accident. However, it could be explained if she thought Ruby was going to expose some problem, upset her and Ian's plans. She is one of the people Ruby suggested may have sent her the voodoo doll. And she has no alibi for the night Ruby died. Nia gasped. You don't think she really went down to the beach and killed Ruby just to keep her reputation? Jade shrugged. It's possible. Of course, the same motive goes for Ian. But he says he was swimming with Richie. That's true. They started to walk back to the car and then drove back to Yarmouth, and Nia went home for a well-earned breakfast. She was thinking about Lucy. Could Jade be right about her drinking? Her mind went back to overhearing Ian admonishing Lucy for her criticism of Ruby, and then those words as they left the beach.
It's over.
There was something to be uncovered there. It could be a drink problem with Lucy. However, it had been the accident Ruby talked about when she'd mentioned the lies that had so upset her. Nia knew she couldn't simply write the accident off. She had to find out more about it. Suddenly, she had an idea. Yes, that would be a very good place to start.